The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Are you nostalgic for a simpler time?
A time where controllers didn't have so many buttons.
A time where games weren't so overly complicated by so many plot devices.
Yeah.
Me too. I miss my NES.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games. But I didn't have anyone to play with, so I decided to start the Super Switch Club. That's right, a podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library. Games like
Star Fox,
Super Mario World,
Kirby's Dream Land 3,
Echo the Dolphin,
Donkey Kong Country,
The Legend of Zelda,
Castlevania Bloodline,
Super Metroid,
Shining Force,
Balloon Fight,
Punch-Out,
Sonic 2,
F-Zero,
Pokemon Snap,
and so much more.
The Super Switch Club is a podcasters assemble style show from the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network.
A podcast where we peel away the veneer of nostalgia and play some unnecessarily difficult video games, just because our friends are playing them too.
So join us on the Super Switch Club, where you can relive the nostalgia of tearing your hair out over an NES game that loves to troll the shit out of you.
Fantastic. I'm thoroughly looking forward to this.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Best of all, you can too.
Head on over to probablywork.com/SuperSwitchClub now to learn more.
Hey everybody, this is Editor Scott. Before we get started today, I wanted to let you know what you are in for. Basically, this is going to be part one of Rich and I's two-part finale special to our involvement as full-time co-hosts in the show. It was originally recorded as one big episode together with Bill, but unfortunately, due to a technical difficulty, we lost like the last 30 or 40 minutes of the show. And due to scheduling difficulties, the three of us just aren't going to be able to get together again this year. So Rich and I are going to re-record the content that happened in that last part of the show, and it'll be a two-parter now. I feel really unfortunate and disappointed that it turned out this way because I wanted to finish strong, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is. Some things can't be helped. But regardless, it's a good episode. Let's get back to the show. Welcome to the RPG After Years, your weekly show covering all things RPGs from the past, present, and future. This is episode 136, and for the last time, I'm your co-host Scott.
And also, for the last time, I'm your co-host Rich.
But, fortunately for everyone else, not for the last time.
You can't get rid of me. I'm your perma host, Phil. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. That's right. This is mine and Rich's final episode as full-time co-hosts. So we're going to take some time to finish everything off right. Get ready for an absolute deluge of RPG-related content. Okay, so we've talked about this in several of the episodes leading up to this, but like I just mentioned, this is the final official episode where Rich and myself are your regular full-time co-hosts. How do you feel about that, Rich?
It's kind of a bittersweet, especially the fact that, you know, I'm ending with my original host, Bill, my British brother from another mother over there. But it's fun. It's bittersweet. I like it.
I was kind of talking about this with Bill before the episode, but it's or I guess you were here too already. But it's kind of weird, like, you know, this show started off as both of your guys' babies, and yet since I came on, I don't think you have ever recorded together. So
no. Well, no, it's really Bill's baby. He just drugged me along kicking and screaming.
Yeah. But that was the whole point of the change as well, was just like it became impossible for me and Rich to actually ever find time to record together. Mm-hmm. And even today, I've had to book this out a month and a half in advance. just to make sure I had this time slot free.
We've tried to make it happen before, as far as recording together, all of us, but every time it fell through just because the scheduling was so difficult. I did say we talked about it before, but basically Rich and I are leaving because we feel ready to move on. It's just that we love the podcast. We love the community, but it's a big time commitment, a big source of stress, kind of. So even though we'll still be around, it's just I felt this way anyway, for my own mental health and to improve my life, I needed to step away, you know?
Yep. I get that. That makes sense. I got to say though, Scott, I got to say something. Your hair looks amazing today. I just got to throw it out there. I got to say, I compliment guys' hair.
I woke up like this.
Spot on from here. I can't see the top of it. I can't see the top of your hair, but I can see the little swoop. It's got that little Leon thing going on.
I was literally at a party last night, and my partner Corey and I actually got in kind of a big fight, because fight might be the wrong word, but I was just like, listen, babe, I have to be home at 9 a.m. tomorrow. No matter what, you know. So,
good times.
Yeah. But anyway, so enough about that, I guess. I guess it's time to move on. Let's catch up. This is the segment where we talk about what games we've been playing. Who wants to go first?
Sure, I'll go. Usually mine's pretty small. So I have played Xenoblade 3. That's just something I've been trucking along every so often throughout the week. Still in chapter 5. I think I got three chapters left to go. I mean, this game is, in the words of Scott, chunky. This thing is chunky as shit. But I like it. And then the other one I just started last night or the night before was the Callisto Protocol.
I've heard about this game, but I don't know anything about it. What is it?
It is the spiritual successor of Dead Space. It's made by the same team.
You're going to hate it, Scott.
The main character is voice acted and motion captured actor Josh Duhamel.
So do you like it, though?
Yeah, it's good. I like it. It's a little bit different mechanic. I don't think you would like it. I don't. I think you like the story, but I don't think you would like the gameplay.
Rich, I am on the brig of quitting Dead Space. That's how much of a bad time I'm having. So
don't pick this one up. I mean, the mechanics behind it is it's an interesting concept where you have to basically, you have a gun, you also have a stun baton / sword thing that's electric.
Yeah.
So as you dodge the attacks of the monsters or whatever mutant thingies, you have to as they swing at you, you can move the thumbstick to the left or the right and your character dodges out of the way, and then you hit them, and it's a little bit action RPGs, Final Fantasy was, but then you got some quick time events you can do to basically kill them. But I'm playing on medium difficulty and I die a lot, and I have some experience in these games. So you just watch a video.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah.
What about you, Bill?
That's all I've got.
So I'll be playing through a little bit of Metal Max Returns, which is a very interesting game.
The current Golden Years game.
The current Golden Years game, yes. I'm trying to sort of plug away at that a bit. It's quite fun. It's still got some, it's a SNES Super Nintendo remake of a Nintendo game. And so it still has some weird Nintendo habits in it. You push a button anywhere and it will say, there's nothing here. I'm sure you guys remember.
I've never played a game. I was about to say, I've never played a game like that before.
That's ridiculous.
But it's really cool. You go around, you've got the normal sort of stuff where you equip your characters, but then you also pick up tanks, and then you get to equip and upgrade your tanks. And it's kind of fun.
I've seen you and Disa talking about it a lot in the Discord.
Yeah. The first, you get out of the first area, and then the second area is okay. And then to try and get into the third area, there's these huge cannon things. And they, as you're approaching them on the world map,
they're firing at you on the world map. So there's loads of little explosions. And if you run over one of these explosions while it's going off, like the animation, it starts stripping armor plates off your tank. And so when you get to the boss, you start the thing, like you could have been full health with your tank beforehand, but when you get to it, it would have stripped a load of your armor off. And so you have to sort of stop just before you start the boss encounter, start replating up your armor and then go into it. But he's a very, very tough boss. It's definitely a skill check moment for the game.
I feel like this is a weird thing to say, but I feel like a proud dad or something that you're actually like plugging away at the Golden Years game.
I like it. See, if I can find the time to play the games, I will, you know. I've sort of, a lot of the games recently I've been trying to plug into have been the RPG club games. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep it. Other than that, I played a little bit of Sword and Fairy, which is a very old Chinese role-playing game. I had to download it like a converted DOS version of it onto my Windows PC to play it. But I was having a chat with Daniel Kay on a different Discord, and yeah, he suggested playing it. And it's kind of interesting. It's like a isometric kind of RPG.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, but...
There's seven games.
Whoa. But I do love isometric
One of them recently
shit.
Came out on the Switch, and it was sort of very seven. It's like, actually had like a big release recently. I remember you guys mentioning it. I'm thinking, what the hell's that? And then, yeah, Daniel Kay was just like, hey, I've been playing the first one. It's kind of interesting. You should check it out. So I did. And then I also played about sort of 15 minutes of Final Fantasy 12 before I got interrupted by a child waking up.
Why?
How dare the child?
No, not the
I
child.
Don't know. I just...
Why did you play Final 12?
I literally just had like sort of 15, 20... I don't know. I just had a bit of time. I thought, I want to play something on my Switch. And yeah, I just played a bit of FF12. Oh, and Echo the Dolphin, of course.
I like 12.
I know 12, you do.
I like 12.
I was actually talking to Corey about FF12 the other day because that's like the only modern one he hasn't experienced. And I'm just like, listen, it's not my thing. That's why I haven't been forced you to play it yet. But like, I think you would probably like it, actually. So
I think Corey would love it too, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so too. It's interesting. I like the desert theme of things.
Yeah. Yeah. As for me, I'm not going to talk about everything I've been playing in the interest of time, but I will mention Triangle Strategy. Corey's been playing through that, and we made some progress recently. I've talked about it on the show before, but the main problem with that game is, you know, it's strategy, of course, so Corey loves it, but it also necessitates grinding, which he hates doing. So,
so he's lukewarm about the game. Then if you average it out, he's lukewarm about it.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the grinding thing, I think he would love it. But it's just one of those things where, like, unfortunately, you got to, you know, you got to grind. So
understandable.
Yeah.
Well, we've talk also about Sonic Frontiers.
I'm going to. Yeah.
I need to know about Sonic Frontiers, man. Come on, tell me more about it.
So Sonic Frontiers is interesting. I've been playing Sonic Frontiers. It's been a while since I've played a mainline Sonic game. A new one anyway, and unless you count Mania, which is a 2D one. I have mixed feelings about it. It's just one of those games, and I think this will come up again later, that it is janky. Like, there's problems, like graphical problems and like bugs and stuff, but it's still fun. You know what I mean? So generally...
It looks like Breath of the Wild meets Sonic.
There was a news story about how they were like, this is not Breath of the Wild, but that's exactly what it is, honestly. So, but yeah, I'm liking it. And last time I played it, I left it with like, hey, I'm having a good time, you know? So, the only other thing I'll mention is Amori, which is, if you haven't heard of that, it's like an indie RPG that was kickstarted in 2014. It's like Earthbound meets some horror vibes. Bill is flaunting my copy of Pokemon, which I was going to talk about later, in front of me. but I did beat Amori. It was good. The ending was let me down a little bit, but... other than that, like I loved that experience. It's just one of those games. I don't think it's for everybody, but for me, right up my alley. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. There are physical copies of the game now. Scott, you didn't know that because after I told you about it, Switch and PS4, I saw.
Yeah. Those just came out this year, which I didn't know about until you mentioned it on the last episode or what last time we did a catch-up segment. But I was a little upset by that because if I'd known, I probably would have got the physical copy. But anyway, that is all I have been playing. Mm-hmm. Moving on to some quick show updates. The RPG Club goes on. If you do not know what the RPG Club is, it's basically like a book club for RPGs where the hosts play an RPG with the community, the same game, same segments of the game with deadlines and timelines and all that stuff. It's really just a book club with an RPG. However, right now we are between clubs, so we don't have a game or anything. But after we leave, Bill is continuing the podcast and he is also continuing the RPG club. And whether or not Rich and I participate will be up to our own volition, basically.
I'm not forced to do anything again.
Yeah. And you won't be losing your votes either if you if you don't.
Speaking of that, do I lose a nomination again?
I mean, you didn't finish the game, bro.
Okay, so yeah, that's fine. That is fine. I wanted to make sure what the rules were.
Also, are you a patron?
Yes, I've been a patron the whole time.
Oh, good. Then you can keep your nomination.
Okay. Even though Scott still banned me from it.
I mentioned this in the Discord, but I still, completed every segment on time and finished the game. So I reserve my right to a nomination this time. So.
Yep. Two nominations, isn't it? Yeah. You get an extra one.
But
for being a good boy.
Do you want to talk about the plans going forward with this, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's really going to be no huge changes to the RPG Club. I've jokingly said on the Discord about laxing the rules on how long the games will take, but I'm not going to do that. I still think we've hit the sweet spot of being like 30 to 40 hours, 45 hours maybe maximum, depending on the game.
It's difficult with RPGs, right? Because some of the best ones are super long. But
it is. And some of the best ones have some of the best RPGs have the best content during the end side content stuff.
Yeah.
And if that takes a long, long time, you just might not get through it all. But yeah, so we're actually starting. So again, if you want to participate in nominating and voting for the RPG Club, you've got to join the patrons. So patrons will be starting their nominations today as the time of this recording, which is the 4th of December. In a few hours, how many hours we got left, Scott? I'm not good with time zones.
As of this recording, it will be live in less than 3 hours.
Oh, less than 3 hours! Oh, I'm so excited. we'll have a week's worth of nominations where the patrons get to nominate a couple of games that they want to. No, it's one game each, isn't it?
Yep, one game.
Yep. Sorry, I'm making notes and all this stuff as I go along. So the patrons get to nominate one game each. And then after a week, we will take all of those games and then they'll get to vote on those games. They get free votes. So you can vote for free games. And then we'll toss up who's got the most votes. And the winner will be... So voting starts on Sunday, the 11th of December. And then a week later, we'll be able to announce the winner.
Nice.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah, so can I occasionally bring you audio and call it Rich's Bitch Fest?
If you want to call it Rich's Bitches, that's fine with me, and I'll even make a jingle for it.
As I say, we need a jingle.
Yeah,
yeah. I finally found the resource that Scott uses to make jingles, and he's amazing.
Nice. Okay.
I hope you guys liked the one he did for the Fantasy Star 4 review.
I did. That was something.
Well, while we're talking about show updates, is there any other announcements or anything you want to make before we move on?
No, I'm going to try and keep. I'm trying to keep the show on an even keel. We're going to be going over the when I do RPG Club episodes, they will be solely dedicated to the RPG Club. I'm not going to bother with doing any news catch ups or anything. And then the alternate week is going to be news catch ups, talking about the biggest news in RPGs at the moment, new releases. And I'm going to talk about the Golden Years games and maybe other games as well that we're playing at the same time.
Okay.
Just try and keep it going. I'm going to try and get some guests on too, if I can.
You know, I'll be listening. Just like Rich was saying, he wants to do segments. Like I don't think I will ever be able to quite let go. you know?
Yep. Just occasionally you may get a Scott Pod.
Yeah.
Some name.
Pod with Scott.
Pod with Scott. Yep.
So,
and then, and yes, you remember Scott, my Friday slot's always open.
Of course. Of course. So we are going to do a news segment. Luckily it's been kind of slow news wise. So it shouldn't take too long, but, we're going to talk about what's happened recently.
Hear ye, gather round for all your news. Stop your clatter and listen close. Alas, you won't believe your ears. Listen close for the news.
Okay, so this one isn't really a big news story, but I just found it kind of hilarious.
Yeah, so there's a near crossover with Rainbow Six Siege. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it's more to do with the remastered version, Near Replicant. I don't really, I've read the news article twice, and I don't understand how this works at all.
Near does a lot of crossovers, just in general, but this one was probably the most bizarre that I can remember. Anyway,
I thought it was fake. I saw it. I'm like, somebody's messing with some people here. They're just making a weird kind of video.
Yeah, because they've done ones before with like PUBG and what's it, Fall Guys. But yeah, I'm just really confused. Like,
I saw a subtitle to an article. It's like, if you've ever wanted to blast terrorists as Near protagonist, here you go.
I mean, yeah, that's basically it.
I mean,
and I like, there's a quote here from Yoko Toro, who's the Near boss, who says, "For us, if we're asked, we would gladly say yes to anything for money."
Wow,
he's honest.
I'm surprised he said that, but also it's Yoko Taro, so I'm also not surprised. You know, so he's an eccentric person.
Yeah, they said he's going to put. They said, would 2B appear in Tekken? He's like, we're open to any kind of opportunities, even if it's Candy Crush. If they want 2B, then we'll say yes. Please go ahead and use her.
I like it.
She's like, like a dirty sex android. You could use her.
So, yeah. Oh, my God. So, if you want to blast terrorists as Near characters, there you go.
Okay, so this one's funny, essentially. So Pokemon and Scarlet, you know, obviously came out and everybody's played it. There's lots of opinions, thoughts, things, stuff like that. But, you know, it did sell quite a bit. But now there's something funny. Nintendo's potentially offering refunds for the game for customers who were pissed off about this thing. So, as you know, that happened with Cyberpunk, everybody knows. But so have you guys played the game yet?
I've got it here in my hands.
Because Bill currently owns my copy through no fault of his own. The short version of this story is that the UK offers steelbooks for Switch games. And so I often might be the wrong word, but occasionally I make Bill, like I buy these things and ship them to Bill so he will ship them to me because Nintendo UK will not ship to the US. But I also ordered Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
Which never turned up.
which came out over a month ago, and it never showed up for Bill. So
nice.
It's turned into a headache for both of us, unfortunately. But because of that, I have not yet played the new Pokemon.
Yep. So you can go to the website from Nintendo and talk to their customer service. Apparently, this is what the article is saying. And you can talk with the agent about getting a refund if you are upset by the graphical issues of what's happened with this game. So to put in kind of perspective for you guys, like I played it, I've had no issues. I mean, I played a little bit, not crazy amounts.
How do you feel?
It looks like crap.
Yeah, it does. It does. Which is the best thing ever. People like put that side by side comparison of this game versus Xenoblade 3. And I was like, how come they can't do this? Like, what's up with that? And then people are getting kind of, I figured this was going to happen. And I think me and you talked about it before, Scott, was voice acting with Pokemon games. People are now starting to really hammer down on that.
Yeah.
So
it's awkward when you have like fully animated cutscenes with characters, like motion and like custom scenes, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. and no voices coming out of them. So.
Yeah. And I did see, I think I did see an article or at least a tweet about something. And Nintendo or the Pokemon company reportedly said that they don't do voice acting because they leave that to the imagination of the player to basically make up a voice in my head. Translation means we are too cheap for that shit. Get over it.
Yeah.
We're not going to do this.
Exactly. But even like the side-to-side comparisons with Xenoblade 3.
But it's a Pokemon, it's a Nintendo-owned company.
A lot of people have said Monolith Soft needs to go help the Pokemon company in Game Freak.
Game Freak.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea because, they even showed screenshots comparing it to Breath of the Wild. And Breath of the Wild just looks infinitely better. And it's such an... like Breath of the Wild was made for the Wii U. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah. This is something that really frustrates me is I've heard opinions like, God, we need a Switch Pro. Yes, I would like a Switch Pro, but that has the power of the Switch has nothing to do with why this game runs like shit.
Correct. Yeah. So they're also releasing a patch 1.10. It should be coming out here soon. Basically to fix some of the performance issues and whatnot. Now, I had heard that mostly this is issues with the digital version of the game, not the physical.
Right. And apparently it runs better in handheld mode, which is not usually the case with...
loads of people have found that it runs better at a lower resolution. So if you've got it on 1080p, it doesn't run very well. If you turn it down to 720, it runs perfect.
Yeah.
Because Pokemon's not meant to be run like that.
Well, no, but it should be. I mean, I reckon Sword and Shield would have run at 1020, wouldn't it?
Right. So the problem is...
Previous game.
Like, we know the Pokemon company always does the bare minimum, typically. Yeah. But, this was bad enough to where it is kind of damaging to Nintendo's reputation. And that is, you know, say what you want about
Nintendo.
That's
where they draw the line.
Right. Say what you want about Nintendo, but... Usually their games are quality, even if you don't like playing the game or whatever.
Correct.
I will admit, I've watched some of these buggy, glitchy videos or whatever, and I'm kind of sad I didn't or won't be able to play before this patch because it looks like a fun clipping through and falling into the endless ocean.
You'll be fine, Scott. Just turn Wi-Fi off, put the cartridge in, and then go ham.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will also say that apparently even the people that are, you know, played the initial version, they'll tell you, hey, the bugs and glitches and graphics are bad, but I'm having a good time. So
yeah.
I've not heard anyone say they're not enjoying it.
Right.
But I just think they can make a better quality game.
For sure.
We all want, like, you know, the hyper quality Pokemon game that we deserve.
Well, I don't, but I just think they could do better than what they are doing.
Yeah.
This literally just feels like minimum effort. Whereas I think they could put more, like, it doesn't need to be Xenoblade 3 quality. It's a Pokemon game. It's a franchise aimed at children. You know, I know we all enjoy it because we all love RPGs and stuff. And we grew up with it, but it's aimed at children. So it doesn't need to be on that level of Xenoblade, but it needs to be way higher than what it currently is. Cause it just looks like an early DS game still.
Yep.
That's my problem with it. One day I'll come back when they make a decent game.
And well, maybe when we're all in the old folks home together, we'll be like, man, Pokemon's come a long way.
They have voice acting.
Yeah. Okay, I almost didn't even include this, but Fire Emblem Engage is actually coming out pretty soon, next month. So it's the new big Fire Emblem game. I've watched a couple of the trailers. It looks good to me. The story looks interesting. The animation quality is way higher than even what Three Houses was. And I thought Three Houses was pretty good. Corey loved it. So I just wanted to mention that. That game's coming.
I'm impressed it's coming out so quick.
Yeah, they've got there's a rumor out there that Nintendo has like a few Fire Emblem games locked and loaded. Like they're ready to launch them to do these things. Some of these are the big titles and whatnot too. So,
in recent years, maybe this is just my bias. It feels like Nintendo has gotten more along the line of they don't really announce things until they're either ready or about to come out of the oven, basically.
Which is fine. That's fine. Yeah.
We like that. We've seen it with Final Fantasy 16. It's much nicer them announcing it like a year and a bit before it comes out rather than 20 years before it comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. And doing a weird showcase and then never doing anything with the showcase.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want this game? We should start developing it. It's been 4 years since we told them about it.
Yep.
I think I even brought this up last episode. Maybe you listened to it, or the last news episode, where I reminisced about Rich, Jay, and I being like, do you think 16 could possibly come out this year?
I was convinced it was going to be Christmas, but you know, not summer next year isn't bad for a Squaresoft Final Fantasy game.
And at least they haven't announced it, the actual date, which I hear is happening this week.
Have we got a thing about Final Fantasy 16 in the docs today, Scott? For
I believe it's I planned to talk about it when we were going over things to look forward to.
Okay,
next.
I'll wait. I'm going to hold back.
Okay,
wind my neck in. Yeah, so also we've got the upcoming Crisis Core. Was it called Reunion? It's coming out very soon. I think that's in like a week, isn't it? December 14th, I want to say.
Yep.
And we've had a ton of trailers about it, including the More Than a Remaster trailer, which Scott loves. That's his favorite trailer of all time, I think.
Well, the brand, from the beginning, since its announcement, the marketing for this game has annoyed me because... They called it like a remaster, like the trailer says. It is more than a remaster. They could have very easily called it a remake, and nobody would have batted an eye. So I don't know. Like, it's like they backtracked later with this more than a remaster shit. But it's not just a remaster. It's like, well, okay, well, fucking don't call it a remaster.
Yep. It's gonna retcon stuff. I guarantee it.
I hope not, but I don't like the voice actor they got for Zach. I just don't. I'd have to play more. Maybe I'll like him down the road. But whoever did the original voice actor for Crisis Core for Zach was like a million times better. It's just his voice fit it.
That
injury, Zach, bad mode.
Zach is like one of the most popular characters in Japan. But I've never been super attached to him. The ending is fucking fantastic. Like, it's a great ending. But I will agree with you, Rich, that the voice actor for Zach was pretty good. Quite good, actually.
He was spot on for his, I guess, if you had to close your eyes and or like look at him, the character model for Zach, and then have this guy do the voice, it matches, the tone of him matches exactly who he is. Yeah. I don't know, maybe we'll have something where it says original voice acting.
Yeah. And we've mentioned it before, but they've also made quite a bit of improvements as well to even just the basic gameplay. Like, I just learned about this. Apparently, after you get the this isn't a fucking spoiler. After you get the Buster Sword, he gets new mechanics, like as far as how he fights. That wasn't a thing in the original. It kind of felt weird, like, because it was like a big plot point. You got the Buster Sword in Crisis Core, and then it nothing changes, you know.
Do you know which platform you're going to buy it for yet, Scott?
Probably the PS5. I'm just afraid it won't. First of all, my other Final Fantasy stuff is on, you know, PlayStation, but also I'm afraid that it won't run as well or look as good or whatever on the Switch.
Well, yeah, you get the best frame rate and resolution on PS5.
Yeah, if I remember right, they actually released like a big like spreadsheet about how many FPS and resolution to expect, right?
Yeah, because like with the Xbox Series S, like it's going to have the same resolution, but they're not going to. It's not going to have the same resolution. It's going to have a lower resolution, and the 60 frames per second is going to be patched at a later date.
Yeah, of course.
Whereas, you know, I think you should get the Steam version personally, because you can get 120 frame rate. That will look chef kiss when you're streaming it.
My PC is finicky enough that I am always scared of that. But but yeah, so I'm looking forward. I'm going to play the game. I'm not sure if I'm going to stream it or if I'm going to play it with Corey yet. But regardless, you know, I have to add that I know a lot of people that really love Crisis Core, and I think it's a good game, but like, I don't get like the infatuation with it.
No, I think it's a good PSP game.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it on the Switch and be like, let's see how this holds up.
There you go.
All right, so this was kind of funny. So a former Square Enix employee, or former Square Enix employees, including Yuji Naka, arrested for insider trading. So Yuji Naka, if you guys don't know that name, is the co-creator of Sonic the Hedgehog and former head of the Sonic development team. He was arrested with some people for insider trading.
If you make a list of like the top 20 most well-known like video game developers, he would probably be on there.
Didn't he do Fantasy Star 4?
He was involved, I think.
But because the guys who make Sonic are the same guys who made Fantasy Star 1, 2, and 4.
Right.
So he was also working. So he was partnership with Aiming on the game that had not been public yet and things like that. And he also was working on the awesome Balan Wonderland. Is that what it's called? I think
Balan Wonderworld, which was a complete flop.
Yo, God, yeah. So the whole big deal is him and a bunch of people got busted by the Tokyo District Prosecutor's Office with a special investigating team. He bought 10,000 shares in Aiming for about 20,000 after learning about Dragon Quest Tact in late January 20 before the announcement of the game that month. So that's a bad thing. That's bad for the public, not for governmental officials. Just saying. There's a difference.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
No, I agree. I actually, this news story made me understand like what insider trading really is. So,
yeah. It's just using the inside knowledge of a company that you work for, at least that you have privy knowledge of, like, okay, this is going to do really well. I'm going to buy the stock of that and make a quick money, which is insider trading. And that's illegal. You can't be doing that. It is illegal here in the United States. It's obviously legal in Tokyo.
And I will also add onto this that from what I understand, these are the rumors that are swirling around this man. You know, he helped make Sonic the Hedgehog, but from what I understand, this guy's an asshole. Like, he's mean to his employees, cruel. Like, he'll show off just to show off.
He looks like it.
Yeah,
based on his look of him in his corduroy jacket, it makes people uncomfortable.
Unless he starts his own company, like even though he is Yuji Naka, I don't think he's ever gonna find another job.
So. I think he's been blacklisted, which is a good thing. He was let go in 2022. He'd been kicked off projects months before it was released. He had sued Square Enix over his departure, like basically getting fired and whatnot. But you know. He co-created, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog. He was part of the original, and he was Knights a lead programmer. Dreams,
Fantasy Star, like Bill said. But I also have to say that this is just like one insight into what the fuck is going on at Square Enix, which we're going to talk about a little later. So.
Yep. But yeah, that's what the Sonic creator went very fast with his insider trading and got all his rings smashed away from him.
Some might say he went too fast.
So the Game of the Year awards nominees are A Plague's Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War: Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. So nice. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that what's going to win out of that one, which sucks because I know this is what's going to happen. I haven't finished Xenoblade 3, but it's a big contender for sure. It's either going to be Elden Ring or God of War. But what's most likely going to freaking win is that stupid cat game, Stray.
You think so?
What's Stray? Yeah.
It's a cat game. Literally, that's all you are. It's just a cat walking around pissing people off and shit, I think. But that's what's going to win. That is what's going to happen is, you know, the random thing. Just like It Takes Two, just out of nowhere wins Game of the Year. People are like, okay. It's going to come down between Elden Ring, God of War, or Stray is going to... I think Stray will win.
Yeah, Stray gets my vote just based on what you've told me.
Yeah. that's all I think.
Well, last year, I mean, It Takes Two took it, which was I don't think anybody expected. So I think you're basing that off that, right, Rich? Like,
yeah, that's why I'm basing that. It could be, but I would love for Xenoblade 3 to win that. It would be amazing to the RPG community. It'd be amazing for Nintendo for having that IP. Xenoblade the series is just phenomenal. I know Scott has his gripes about two, but
yeah. So the pessimist in me is saying thinking that Elden Ring's going to sweep it. Which is fine.
Elden Ring was so big, though, when it came out.
Yeah. But also, Xenoblade 3, in my opinion, it was lucky to even be on this list. So,
yeah, that was my thing, too. It was a little shocker on that.
So what about best RPGs, guys? We also have, again, Elden Ring. I don't think they should count, but, you know. Live Alive 2022, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Triangle Strategy, and again, Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling about that list? It's definitely the best game on there is Live Alive.
It's going to be freaking Elden Ring again.
Which would be so frustrating, right? To us, correct, as like traditional RPG fans.
Yeah, I'm surprised Triangle Strategy's made it in there.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering if Live Alive or whatever, how you want to say it. That'd be good if that one won.
Mm.
Yeah.
That would be great for the whole, you know, campaign to get older games remastered and out there available for new people, especially the 3D, like the 2D, 3D style games.
Yep.
Yeah. I think if it's not Elden Ring, it's going to be Xenoblade 3, though. That's just my take on it.
Like it.
So I also made a note here, you know, Triangle Strategy appeared on the list of best RPGs, but it wasn't on the list of best strategy games, which
that's weird.
Technically, the category is best Sims / strategy, which is a weird combination.
Oh, yes. So that's that is really strange.
It's just like, how did this happen?
It's literally got strategy in the name.
Right. I just know I added this game of the Game Awards thing in here at the last minute because I know Rich loves talking about that. But I'll probably watch it live as usual and be frustrated / bored. But
we'll be praying that Stray wins so that Rich can have a rant about it.
There we go.
In Rich's first bitch.
Yes.
Okay, so that's actually it for all our news stories. But as far as the RPG releases, we got Alterium Shift on PC December 1st. Also on the 1st was Curse of Eternity on the PC. Again, on the 1st, Sword of the Vagrant came to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. We're getting Romancing Saga, Minstrel Song Remastered on the 1st as well.
Sorry, Scott, what's the saga?
God damn it.
I knew you were going to say that when I added this to Doc. So.
Just triggers me every time.
I need a saga. What's the saga?
One last time.
It's Minstrel Song.
That's coming to PS5, PS4, Switch, PC, and mobile. On the 2nd, Marvel's Midnight Suns coming to PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. And I've actually heard that apparently people are generally liking it. So
that's good.
Yeah. On the 6th, we got Assassin's Creed Valhalla to Steam. And then on the 8th, Chained Echoes, which came to everything that anybody cares about.
I'm so excited for this one. I talk about this one every time. Yeah, I get a Kickstarter. I'm part of the Kickstarter, so I get a copy of that because I backed it. I don't know. I think Scott would like this. I think Bill, you would like it. Mm. It's going to be good.
I am definitely going to play this one. It's been one of those ones that looks really, really interesting.
And this is a guy that independent studio that made it out in Germany. So I think it was like by one guy. I think he had some help, like different areas that he couldn't do, but he did this himself. So. Okay. Anyways, so let's talk about RPGs releasing the rest of the year, guys. So Dragon Quest Treasures for Switch, December 9th. Adventures Academia, The Fractured Continent, PS4, Switch, PC, December 9th. The Witcher Wild Hunt, PS5, Xbox S, December 14th. Broken Lines, PS5, PS4, X, Xbox One, the December 14th. And the big meaty one, Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion, Remaster, Remake, / whatever. PS5,
more
PS4,
than a remaster.
Yes, more than a remaster. PS5, everything, December 15th. Sinus. Last time for me to butcher a name. Enterprise, PC, December 16th, entering early access. Valkyrie Profile Lineth, PS5, PS4, December 22nd. Remember, Scott, I talked about this? It's the
remake. Yeah, I famously left it on the dock after it was delayed for weeks.
Yep. Sports Story for the Switch. There's no date yet confirmed, but it's confirmed specifically for December, so be on the lookout for that.
Which is weird, but
yeah. And also, next year, you can look forward to having The Witcher 3 on a toaster to work alongside Skyrim.
Literally, we're We're going to be talking about Witcher later. So.
it is the new Skyrim. It'll be on everything.
Yeah. Okay. So that is literally it for the news. Okay. So we are now going to talk about everything that happened in 2022 as far as like big releases and news stories. If it seems like we're jumping around a lot, because we're trying to go in like roughly chronological order. And other than that, just like, no, it's easy to miss stuff. So it's interesting to go back and reflect on past years, right? So, or like what happened, because it feels like forever ago. But the year kicked off strongly, some would say, with Pokemon Legends Arceus. You played this some, didn't you, Rich?
Some, yeah. It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I'm not like giving up on it, but like I find it to be very boring. So,
I've only heard good things of it, isn't it?
See, like a lot of people really like it and wish Pokemon would be more like that. But I think there's just some kind of missing ingredient to make it interesting to me.
Yep.
On February 6th, there was a Shenmue anime. I heard it was not very good. On February 10th, every Kingdom Hearts game came to the Switch.
Virtually,
yeah. Through the cloud, which was a big thing. Like everybody's so mad, and I'm still mad about it. That wound is not healed. But especially since we got a port of Nier Automata later on, which apparently was great. So like, why couldn't they port Kingdom Hearts, you know? Cyberpunk. Can you believe Cyberpunk was this year? Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. It was the new generation version of Cyberpunk, I guess.
Yes.
Horizon Forbidden West was in February. I played that, loved it. That was great. Chef's kiss. Love Horizon, though.
Yeah, we also had the Final Fantasy VI Pixel Remaster, which came out on February 23rd. Again, very happy that happened for the Final Fantasy community. It's brilliant stuff having those older games remade, remastered. Elden Ring came out February 25th, and that was a huge, huge moment for the gaming industry. That just absolutely took over everything.
It was honestly like I haven't played it, so I feel like I'm not qualified to speak about it, but it was annoying.
Exactly.
Yeah, it kind of made me want to play the first Dark Souls, but I didn't quite get around to that. Altair Sophia 2, The Alchemist of Mysterious Dream, came out on February 25th, whatever that is. Guild Wars 2, End of Dragons, came out February 28th. And Triangle Strategy came out for the Switch on March 4th. And if I look at my copy, it's still in shrink wrap. I've still not played it. I've still not got it out of shrink wrap because I haven't got past the demo yet.
Yeah. Well, I spoke about it earlier, but like I said, it's other than the required grinding, it's a pretty damn good game. So,
yeah. So my part of the Chocobo GP for the Switch, you know, that racing game that nobody plays, March 10th. So
that was quite a flop just based on Square Enix trying to, you know, what's the right word?
Microtransactions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Then Stranger Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. That is basically the Dark Souls meets Final Fantasy. So
I'm still confused about what that game actually is. I'll need to play it at some point.
I've heard that I've watched some people play it. The story is stupid as shit. They're so bad it's good situation. Yep. And I've heard the gameplay is like actually pretty good. So
yeah. Rune Factory 5. That is your life farm simulator. Don't hear much about that. And then you got Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. So that's a Borderlands game. If you like the Borderlands series, there you go. That's what it is.
Absolutely. This one I still have psychological damage from, but.
But why? It's so good.
Chrono Cross, the Radical Dreamers Edition, came out in April. I don't think it's a bad game. It just wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be.
We still need to review that, don't we?
We will eventually. I think I also made a big mistake by trying to 100% it. I think that very negatively like affected my opinion about the game.
That was a terrible idea.
Yeah. 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim came to Switch in April as well. Haven't played it. Heard it's great. Ayuden Chronicle Rising, the prequel to the Kickstarter Suikoden reimagining, that came to everything in May. Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song, also in May. Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade came to Steam, famously.
Yeah, I was going to say, did that only just come out in June?
Yeah, right.
Like, what?
I have a note about Amori, how the it came to, you know, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And I just have a note here that the game was kickstarted in 2014. Originally released in 2020. My God. Well, I'm glad they put the time in because it's a good game, like I was saying earlier. But and then Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes was in June as well, which is the Fire Emblem Three Houses Warriors game. I've heard that's good too. Haven't played it yet.
Disgaea 6 Complete came out on this June 28th. And yeah, just don't bother playing that. Disgaea is awful. Live Alive, the remake, the remaster, the 2D, 3D remaster came out on the Switch. Is it just the Switch? Was that all it came out on?
Yep.
Yes.
July 22nd. And that, by all means, is fantastic because it got Scott to replay the game within a year of just completing it. So it was good enough to draw him back in. So I know it's good. And I watched him play a bit of it too.
I beat it. It's good. I don't know what else to say. Like, not a perfect game, but I liked it.
Love Live Alive. And then also Digimon Survive came out on July 29th, which was infamously announced back in July 2018. And like, everyone was convinced that it was just never going to come out. And after it did come out, they all wished it hadn't come out.
Well, I actually heard that people that played it generally liked it. And there was another news story just this week where it's already sold like over 500,000 copies, which I imagine is probably good for Digimon. But
yeah. So the big one, the big Nintendo contender was Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I love this game. Love it. I'm going to finish this because I got to finish out the trilogy and understand how this all connects. Soul Hackers 2. Sure. That's what is that? Another Shin Megami Tensei kind of game?
That's right. But I think most people thought it was kind of lame.
Yeah. And then Cyberpunk in Edgerunners. That's the Netflix anime that basically got people back excited for Cyberpunk.
I haven't watched it. I heard the anime is good. Cyberpunk? Yeah, right.
Also, we had back in September, we had Dragon Quest X Offline, which is only in Japan, which, you know, makes my blood boil. Various Day Life came out on September 16th. The Dio Field Chronicle, another Squaresoft strategy game, which they just seem to be like hammering out left, right, and center at the moment, came out September 22nd.
Y'all, Legend of Heroes. Just as a note real quick, Square Enix released 35 games this year.
Damn.
They are on fire with these, you know, older style games, really. They've just decided this is what people like.
but I
didn't hear much. Like, I heard great things about Triangle Strategy. I didn't hear very good things about Dio Field Chronicles. That got a bit more.
I heard varying opinions. Basically, yeah, seems divisive.
I didn't hear too much positive on it, so I stayed away in the end. Legend of Heroes: Trails from Zero, which I heard very good things about, came out on September 27th. Valkyrie Asylum came out September 29th.
Asylum. Elysium.
What? Elysium. That's definitely Asylum. No, it's Elysium. And then Nier Automata, The End of Your Heart Edition, came out October 6th. And I'm waiting for that to go on a good sale so I can get it and actually finally finish that game. Legend of Mana, The Teardrop Crystal Anime, also came out on October 8th, which I heard okay things about.
Yeah. For a mobile game, or I guess an anime. Sorry, I don't want to say mobile game. In October, also, we got Coral Island. It's not officially released, Steam Early Access, but I have friends that were streaming it and really liked it. So it's another like farm life sim akin to Stardew Valley. But
the next game, by the way, I got a free copy of and I've been playing it. It's great. it just suddenly came through the post.
You bitch. No.
Oh, wait. No, I haven't seen it.
Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which... finally came out, and I really haven't heard too much about it.
It's because it hasn't arrived.
Yeah.
No one ever got a copy.
We finally got Persona 5 Royal ported to modern consoles, including Switch and PC, late October. After it was like one of those running gags almost, as far as like, this will happen one day. Why hasn't it happened? But and then Gotham Knights, the Batman sidekick game. Also released in October.
So the big one, the next Star Ocean game, Star Ocean: The Divine Force, October 27th. Harvestella, Square Enix's life sim RPG. Sure.
No, no,
I've heard people like it.
It's more, there's like the farming thing's just a really small part of the story. It's actually more of like a new secret of mana. And apparently, oh, yes. Yeah, everyone who I've seen review it or talk about it has absolutely gushed about it. I've only heard really, really good things about Harvestella. And people have just been like, I thought this was going to be a trash farming sim, but it turned out to be an actual RPG, which I love.
Huh. Interesting.
So yeah, I would give that a shout if I was you two.
I have it, so I'm definitely going to try it. God of War Ragnarok, that's for the bros. Everybody loves the God of War. Yep. Tactics Ogre Reborn, that's the remake of the Super Nintendo one. That's the remake of the remake, right? No, the remake of the original game. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Pentiment, that was November 15th. Never heard of that one. And then also the big crap shoot of a game, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. November 18th.
Of course.
Front Mission First remake came out on November 30th, which I'm very excited for. And then What's the Saga?
Shut up.
I Need a Saga. Came out, the Minstrel Song Remastered came out December 1st, 2 days ago. There was also Marvel's Midnight Sun, September 2nd, and Dragon Age Absolution, the next anime. Oh, I'll have to check that out. See if Brandon's going to be watching that one.
I was supposed to say, I wonder if Brandon will watch it.
December 9th.
Okay, that's all the releases. When we come back, we're going to remind you of some of the biggest things that happened in 2022, and then we'll look forward to 2023. So BRB.
Okay, Editor Scott here again. Like I said, pretty much everything after that point of the show, we was lost to the ether. And when we come back next time, it'll be me and Rich. We're going to be talking about like the biggest news stories that happened in 2022, as well as what games we can look forward to in 2023. It should be a good time. As far as, you know, outro and plug for the show, the RPG Club is going to continue. I believe nominations should be ongoing when you're listening to this. Voting begins on Sunday, December 11th. Bill does plan to continue the show going forward in the future as weekly right now. And you get to hear us one more time in one more episode at some point soon. Other than that, please rate and review the show. Tell all your friends. We do have a Patreon if you want to have access to all the backlog of content that we've done over the years, extra reviews, early episode access, ad-free episodes. You get to nominate and vote for the RPG Club game. That's at patreon.com/RPGAfterYears. If you want to email us, our email address currently is rpgafteryears@gmail.com. Please join the community on our Discord. The link can be found in the show notes or our pinned tweet on Twitter. We have a good time over there. Speaking of Twitter, you can find the show at RPG Years. If you want to reach out to me, I'm at the Scott Spot. Of course, you can find Rich at Hellblue1569. And Bill is at Metunica, Metunnica. That's going to be it for part one. Look forward to part two, everybody. Thank you for listening. Again, sorry for the technical difficulties. It is what it is. And you'll get to hear us again soon. Thank you for listening to the RPG After Years. Later.